Good morning, this lovely Tuesday. It's Edward Marlowe here with you in the...
Was I supposed to say good morning when you did?
Well...
I don't know.
I mean, I wanted to say good morning and be polite and pleasant, but, you know, I understand.
Yeah. Well, good morning to you then.
Indeed. This is Ed Marlowe. This is the For Those Who Inquired podcast, and that is Neil Bradley with me.
Yeah.
I technically was saying good morning, I guess, to an open crowd and just expecting them to, like, say it back to me, but, I mean, that's just not how podcasting works.
That isn't. Yet. It will someday.
Yeah, the days
I'm
come.
I'm sure someday that they'll be able to converse with us.
Yeah, like a live podcast, like a streaming live response podcast. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
It is. If you'll think about all the stuff we've said on our stuff, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I don't need anybody to respond. I also, now that I think about it, you see how like Facebook streaming works and YouTube streaming works, and when you open the comments up.
Oh, yeah, no comments.
So it's probably a bad idea.
Anyone who has faith in humanity, go read comments. If basically any controversial Facebook thing, you'll lose all faith. You'll say, okay, God, I know you said you wouldn't send a flood a second. Go ahead.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Come on.
Go ahead and send it. And really, the thing about it is a lot of times you see some of the worst comment sections. It's definitely, I understand that sometimes it's controversial conversation, but a lot of times it is a simple news statement, and I'm not even going to necessarily talk about like a liberal or conservative opinion here. I'm talking about, you know, there's a piece of news that comes out of Kentucky legislation or state or national, you know, state or national interest, and it's an AP story, or, you know, let's stay local here. Let's go with, you know, like a WPSD account or a Murray Ledger and Times or Paducah Sun account, and they simply, you know, regurgitate a story, a news element. Mm-hmm. There's not even there's no bias whatsoever. It's this happened. You know, Andy Beshear has chosen to do this. Donald Trump has chosen to do this. These are simple decisions made by politics and government, both at the local, you know, at the local, national, and state levels. And all of a sudden, I mean, you can see just the train of comments that come one direction or another.
But that's common with politics.
It is.
When it's crazy is when it's sports. Bobby Jones had 8 points. You didn't mention little Jimmy Jones, though. He had 5 points. What's wrong with you? Have you been a writer for a long time? Are you an idiot?
And yeah, it's true.
Here you go.
That's
what concerns me, is stuff like that.
Yeah.
Stuff politically, okay. Mask, no mask. Okay, I got it. You got an idea on that? You have an opinion? Those are legit, whether you're for or against. I understand that, but some of the stuff is like, just don't need to get upset about this.
Yeah, doesn't even matter.
Kid didn't get mentioned. He had 5 points, had 4 rebounds. Or you see these. Here's the top 10 quarterbacks according to this in the state. What? So and so is not on that list?
Yeah, it's like I didn't make the choice. I'm just reporting a list.
I just retweeted the list. It isn't me.
Yeah, this is just getting pub generated from all sorts of different.
Like, person's an idiot.
Well, the thing about it is with sports journalism, especially and entirely even. There are multiple opinions being tossed around at all times. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's me just collecting those opinions.
Yeah.
It's not even necessarily my own opinion. It's just, oh, well, I need to take note of this because others are taking note of it. It's the same with, like, recruiting classes. It's the same with, like, coaching decisions and, you know, what does this conference do versus this conference? It's not necessarily even my opinion so much as it's I'm looking for different opinions to create the conversation.
Right.
It's simple as that. It's not even, I really don't share my opinion as much as people think I do, which is funny because I probably don't need to share it more, quite frankly, and I'll just, you know, stick to numbers. So that's my favorite part of sports anyways, is numbers and effort. Those are my two favorite things.
But when it's lists, subjective lists, you're just asking for controversy. And a lot of times, that's kind of why you put it out there. You really want to generate hits.
Yeah, you want to generate hits, and you want to generate the conversation.
Here's a top 10 list. Well, so-and-so should be on there. He should be higher. He should be lower.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why they're out there.
Well,
when you start talking about it.
And I want to use that as a segue, Neil.
Oh, all right.
We don't have a list for OVC football yet because we haven't had OVC Media Day.
That is correct.
For football. But on the positive note, Murray State football practice began on Monday morning at 7:30, bright and early at Roy Stewart Stadium.
Actual human beings on the field. I wasn't there.
Wearing helmets.
And the reason I wasn't there, we haven't had a staff meeting here in 3 months, and guess when we had one?
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Monday morning.
During football practice, so I wasn't going to go, but I heard you say it, and I believe you most of the time, but
sure.
Then I saw photos that Dave Weindert posted of football practice,
right,
of some new players, so I know they actually had it. We talked with Coach Hood, talked with a couple of players, and it sort of feels good. I know it's different. It is different. It's just part of the way life is right now, but it's a little bit of sense of normalcy. And finally, the football coaches and the players can do what they know to do, and that is go out there and practice. And Coach Hood seemed pretty impressed by what he saw, considering what all his team has had to go through to get to that point to have the first day of practice.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about a timeline, and I'm not going to read you my entire Paducah Sun article. Luckily, we were able to talk with AK-47, Anthony Koklanakis, Malik Honeycutt, and Coach Hood over about a 20 to 25-minute Zoom. I want to clear that up a little bit, Neil, about how this season's even going to look like from that perspective. From a media perspective, and as we get closer to the season, this will become, you know, more clear, but we will be Zooming with coaches and players for 99% of the season. I would think there may be an occasional, you know, potential chance at a conversation face-to-face and so on and so forth, but as far as post-game press conference, pre-game, anything, any sort of post-practice interview, 99% of the time the interview is going to come via Zoom. And that's just the way that it's going to have to be probably for this year and maybe a little bit of the spring as well as we continue to navigate what is supposed to be a safe bubble for college athletes and its coaching staffs. But, as far as what Coach Hood was looking at for practice, you have to think about from a timeline perspective, Neil. March was about to be go time. You know, you had your signing class. You've probably got a few stragglers coming in, you know, for spring camp.
Right.
You've still got guys, they're coming back from spring break, or they're preparing for spring break, and then there's going to be football. And Coach Hood, you know, and his first year staff is going to need this. You know, they need,
yes,
all of that time to let's assess the roster, let's assess equipment, let's take a look at our property. You know, I mean, yeah, it's the university's property, but like, what do we have? We've got a weight room. We've got, a specific trainers. Here's the meals. Here's all the stuff. Here's all of our amenities. Let's do a gear check as like a football quartermaster. And then COVID-19 hits. And I mean, it's literally just scatter, essentially. Like, I mean, it wasn't long after COVID became an issue in early March that the university was like, we're going digital only. You know, we're going, you know, online only classes. And so all of a sudden, now your students can't, your student athletes, your football players, well, one, they didn't have spring workouts. So you're not getting to assess a Preston Rice or a LaMartez Brooks. You're not getting to check and see what Malik Honeycutt's up to from a healing perspective. How's he doing? You know, how's AK-47 doing? How, you know, and the list goes on and on. There's 80 guys, 90 guys that you want to talk to and send out the right way. If you're seniors and everybody else, you want to like see where they're going to be. Where do I need you going into the summer? And it's like, you never got that report card. Coach Hood specifically stated that he and his staff have just been ingesting film.
Yeah.
You know, on the team. And that's just not the same as live assessment. No. It just isn't. Like, you can see speed. You can see talent. You can see if you're reading, if you're a defensive player or an offensive player, you can see proper routes being run, proper blocking. You can see those things, but until you get a physical feel and a one-on-one visual look at like, how does my team actually look? How do they respond? Excuse me. What are they like on the sidelines as human beings? How do they rally as a team? Who are the leaders? You know, that was one of my questions on Monday, Neil. You know, who are the leaders of this team? Coach Hood doesn't know. And that's not a bad, like, it sounds like a bad thing, but it's not an assessment of Coach Hood. It's, well, we haven't been in a live fire exercise, so to speak. Not to make it sound militaristic, but,
right,
you know, there's a regimen here. And, you know, and they haven't had any of that. The summer, you know, Neil, he mentioned this, it was pods. essentially. You had 16 guys, and smartly, they mixed up guys. It's good for camaraderie. You're not having your units together, your wide receivers, your offensive linemen, but I mean, he made this point, and you never would have thought about it. You didn't want your units to be together because if one offensive lineman is with the other 9 or 10 offensive linemen and one tests positive for COVID, they're all out.
Yeah.
For an undisclosed time until there's a quarantine session and everybody's tested.
And that's not the way it's usually done. Usually the linemen all go in together and so on and so forth.
Yeah, they're units. I mean they're literally supposed to be in their rooms, in their camps, their, you know, their groups, so to speak. You're with your guys. That's your war room. And so, you know, you mixed them up. I guess in some regards, it's kind of cool that you had anywhere between 11 to, you know, 15 guys that were all different. Different rooms, different classifications. You know, a lot of times, I know at the high school level especially, this is very common, but you have freshmen with freshmen, you know, sophomores with sophomores, juniors with juniors.
That's who you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, nothing meant by it. It's just the way it is.
You come in with your guys.
Yeah.
That's your class. That's your dudes. You know, so on and so forth, we're your buds. That's very different now and we're just talking about this at the micro level with Murray State. That's how it is across the country right now, except for Rutgers. I mean, that was who's you know, and now they all have COVID. Mm-hmm. Their cases doubled, announced today. So very unfortunate situation there, and hope they can kind of get through that very serious issue. But you know, that's the one thing Murray State's trying to avoid right now. I mean, they've got players currently, they're in the middle of protocol because they, you know, they're coming in. You know, they're not from Murray. These are transfers. These are guys that have been out, you know, and about in other states. They're coming in and they're, you know, they're in the middle of that. Can we enter the bubble yet? Because they're having to test and then get into the bubble. So it's just such a different, I wanted to read one quote specifically, Neil, that kind of really brought a lot of attention to my mind, at least. This is from Coach Hood. He said, quote, "I was walking around today writing down jersey numbers and trying to figure out who was who."
Yes.
And I don't mean this in a bad way. He knows his team. He knows his roster. But this was the first time he was seeing them face to face. It's all been Zoom calls. It's all been individual workouts. It's all been, you know, what can you do on your own time?
He did mention yesterday, because I asked him about the mental part of this, and he said he's actually had more one-on-one time with players because he just contacted them through Zoom than he would have had otherwise. And that is true. But it probably is something that's needed, because a lot of these – you know, everyone's had to deal with it in their own way. It really impacts some people. And for college football players, you know, they're used to a certain routine, except for the rookies, the freshmen who haven't done this before.
Right.
And they're out of their routine. He mentioned some. They gave them a conditioning plan. Here's what we need you to do. Some of those are from areas that was a real hot spot. They didn't have access to facilities, so they're going to be somewhat behind. Previously, when you were given that report, there was no excuse. You could find a facility. It's like you can find somewhere to run, find somewhere to lift weights. That's not an excuse. Well, now it is. Gym's closed. This is closed. No one can go in this building. No one can go in that building. Can't be outside. It's just a lot of things they're not used to dealing with. Have an experienced football coach who could have done all, if it's not for the COVID, could have done all this stuff with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
That's how much experience Coach Hood has. And now this just throws a wrench, not just to him, but to everybody else. But because it's a new team to him, he has the things that he just doesn't have. Something he won't have next year, provided that we play, because he'll at least know his personnel that he has. But he doesn't know them for sure because he hasn't seen what they can do with his own eyes on the football field.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's just an unfortunate curve. It's an unfortunate turn of events. It doesn't matter who would have been the coach. There would have been some difficulties coming into this season, no doubt. And the rest of the league will have these difficulties. Everybody will have their own challenges. It's just that Dean Hood is not the dean of the OVC. I mean, I say that. He is. He has experience in the OVC, but he does not have experience with this specific team. And, you know, he was supposed to get that crash course on his program, you know, January through, you know, April and May and even early June, and hasn't had it. I wanted to finish the rest of that quote because
No,
you're totally fine. It made sense for you to bring up in that moment. But to finish the rest of that, you talk about that one-on-one time that he had. the rest of this quote. We literally and basically went from guys lifting weights and running around cones to COVID-19, and now we're back together again and trying to figure guys out. We brought in a whole class of guys, not really knowing what we have. You know, so, I mean, all the film in the world is not going to solve a live assessment. They're two totally different things. They're important. You need both. You need film on your guys. But because Coach Hood never got to have spring football, which would have lasted, what, Neil, 14 days? Or is it longer
than that?
Something
like that. Usually a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks and then a spring game, mm-hmm. which, you know, the Racers have actually been fortunate enough to have a large enough roster over the last couple of years to have a spring game. I think that spring game probably would have been as lively as we could have expected because Coach Hood was going to need to see his guys bang helmets and see what do I have coming into this year. From a mechanics standpoint, I do want to move a little bit forward on this. AK-47, Anthony Kokolinakis seemed to illuminate to the fact that Coach Hood and his staff are likely going to switch to a 3-4 defense, which is not a major shift from the kind of the 4-2-5, 4-3 that we saw last year, where you kind of had a roaming backer really kind of do what they do. Mike, you know, Will, Sam, all those guys, you know, like sometimes they're coming back in pass coverage, sometimes they're attacking the line of scrimmage. I don't expect too much of a difference there, but AK did mention that the blitz will likely come more disguised this season. You know, last year the blitz hit. I'm not going to say that it didn't, because it certainly, there were moments where the passing protection crumbled for opponents, but I will say in a 3-4, I just kind of wonder where your nose tackle, you know, a lot of times, you know this as well as anybody, Neil, your nose tackle in a 3-4 has got to be a big dude, somebody that can really soak up the middle of that line so that your linebackers have freedom to either make a jump on a slant or come at the line of scrimmage and attack a runner or somebody on a screen for a wide receiver. So that part to me will be a little bit more interesting, like who are your three. You know, you've got your meat in your linebackers. Who are your potatoes that are on the line that are going to really soak up and create that havoc and that pressure at the nose guard and the two ends? But, you know, I mean, that's what the next month is for. And that kind of brings me to my next point, Neil. You mentioned something a little bit on social media. What do you think is going to happen from a scheduling standpoint if you just kind of had to ballpark it?
Well, the Board of Presidents, not the Board of Presidents, will meet today, the National Board, to decide the fate of fall championships. The OVC presidents wanted to wait and see what that decision was. They'll make their decision tomorrow, and I still believe the decision will be pretty much a conference-only schedule, although I don't know that that's a great idea with an asterisk. I'm all right with it. But if the Racers, and right now they still have a chance to play the Louisville game, can pick up $500,000 or more by playing one game, I think you ought to allow them to do it. If they want to go, you can play maybe one non-conference game. That gives you that freedom to go play that bowl division game. The Racers may not could play both of them, the Georgia State game, the Louisville game, but perhaps they could play to one of them. I think the Sun Belt said, we're playing all of our games. That's what they said. So that means Georgia State, at the moment, is still in play, unless
the OVC makes its choice.
Makes its choice and says, you're playing all conference games, and you can't play a game before this date.
Right.
And that could happen Wednesday.
I know you and I thought about recording later this week, but we wanted to go ahead and talk about it now to bring it to everyone's attention. We do know that last Wednesday there was supposed to be some sort of action taken, and then the NCAA didn't take its action.
Right.
So it was like, from a counterintuitive standpoint, like everybody was kind of waiting on pins and needles that Wednesday the OVC was going to, you know, reveal some sort of, well, here's what we're doing. Well, they sort of did, but not really. Like, everybody was kind of left waiting, like, well, I thought we were supposed to decide. Well, the problem is it's kind of a crap get out or get off the pot type of situation. Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to wait on what is the NCAA going to mandate to set the rubric, to kind of set the standard of, well, what are we going to be allowed to do? What's the availability? And really, that's honestly, as unfortunate as it is for the OVC to have to wait on that, it makes sense. Because whether the OVC's presidents feel one way or another, whether it should be conference only or non-conference only, what they're trying to do is not make the decision to go one way and then it need to be the other. Why get everybody's hopes up by telling them we'll play all games if the NCAA comes out and says, well, we're just not going to have fall championships? And vice versa.
Yeah.
Why limit yourself when the OVC is... I say that there is a leeching moment for the OVC, but it's a codependence. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely a reason why bigger schools pick OVC programs to come and play them because they need bowl eligibility. It's an affordable game for them. Take the Louisville game, for instance, which is, you know, a shade above $500,000. Okay, that is an in-state school where you can generate a lot of local interest. And it's very likely going to be a win for Louisville.
Like, oh, sure.
I'm not trying to be rude.
We beat them one time back in the 80s. Other than when we beat them 105-0 that year.
Yeah, not,
when Stumpy Rayburn played.
1932.
But that was a while back.
It's a great game.
But in the modern era, we've got one win.
And then one time when Terry Bridgewater and those guys and Brockman and Bridgewater was like a freshman.
Gave him a good game.
Gave 21-9, whatever. Yeah. Louisville needs that win for bowl eligibility. It's an affordable paycheck for them. It helps the racers in so many different ways. That's a game that benefits Louisville.
But they don't even know their schedule yet.
They don't.
They know they have 10 games.
Yeah.
They don't know when they are.
Right. And so that's kind of what we're getting at. Oh, and by the way, football season is supposed to start in a month.
Right.
So that's kind of what we're running at. And I know that the OVC is running out of time, but they need to know what their standard rubric is before they land their battle flag.
Something that could give them flexibility, if the Board of Presidents today says no championships, suddenly you can go ahead and play your conference-only games, and if they give you conference plus one, you could play that game anytime in November.
Anytime, yeah.
Because suddenly you're not hamstrung by, well, the FCS playoffs begin. No, they don't. They don't begin next week. There is no FCS playoffs. We could play this later in... That leaves a little bit of a window and flexibility for the racers against Louisville if that's what they decide to go. If they go with conference, I just don't know. I understand why the ACC does it and the SEC, but for the OVC, if you're going to play, give them that one chance to get the paycheck game.
Yeah.
To me, that is something that is imperative, and hopefully the OVC Board of Presidents, you know, they got to be thinking about that. We're just not going to hand away $550,000.
Well, and every...
We got to have it right. Of all times, we really need it right now.
Every program... Well, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like a welfare program, but in a lot of ways, it kind of is. Like, it's... I mean, every program in the OVC needs one of those games.
Yeah.
Just to kind of hold things together a little bit.
And the only team that hasn't played one every year is Tennessee State. And I think they maybe are playing one in the future.
Yeah.
I know they've signed a contract to play one, but usually they don't. They get their money from the classics. And I think one of those dropped, and they've had another one that they haven't played. So even they're picking up paycheck games. But it helps you, not just the football program, because some of that money's used for football, but other parts of athletics. And it's always, unless there's a pandemic, it's guaranteed. You know you're going to get the money.
Right.
Check's not going to bounce. You're going to get it. Oh, that's $550,000 we have next year. When we go to Texas Tech or whenever in a couple of years, oh, that's guaranteed. We're getting that, no doubt. Play UK again several years from now. I think that one's $650,000 or something.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it's deferred, isn't it?
It's in the bank. And then now it's like...
Yeah, it's already a line item in the budget.
Yeah, you've already figured it in. Oh, I can afford this because I have that coming in.
I mean, I'm just simply firing off the hip from here, but I mean... I was going to make a joke that maybe you've already even spent it, but you probably haven't. But you maybe, in a way, you have. You've maybe earmarked it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm just spitballing at this point.
Right.
Like I don't have Murray State's $18 million athletic budget line for line and right in front of me. But it's an unfortunate situation for all programs. But again, at the micro level, Murray State would like to have one of those bye games today.
That's money you just can't get back. There's not a donor. Well, I mean, I could write a $550,000 check.
It'll bounce.
The writing, it's not a problem. It's getting it to go through is the problem.
Yeah.
But to get someone that could write them one and give it to them that would go through, I'm not saying those people aren't out there. There's not many of them out there that's going to do that for you.
I mean, I've got a little bit, like between you and I, Neil, maybe our baseball cards, my baseball cards, my coins, my stamps.
See, I don't have any of that stuff.
I've got a lot of junk, Neil. But I mean, I've got a couple of stamps that are worth a little bit. I've got a couple of baseball cards. It'd take me a while to auction off on eBay to come up with a $500,000 to keep the program going.
Wow.
Take me a while.
I know where you live. Okay.
I mean, Neil, my wife would love to have you take it off of our hands.
Right?
Like, I have stacks.
Especially if she got a cut of the money.
Oh, yeah. I've got stacks of junk everywhere. It's just a matter of not. I've got a few Zion Williamson and John Morant rookie cards. And we'll use that as another segue, Neil, because Zion Williamson and John Morant battled out on Tuesday. It did not go, or on Monday night, it did not go in Jaws' favor.
Had a tough night. He's had a good game during the comeback, but not this past night.
No, so his first two games.
They're winless, right?
Yeah, they're 0-3 now. And they're all really kind of heartbreaking losses. They're not getting blown out by any stretch of the imagination. At no point have they trailed by more than like 8 to 10 points, but it's just not come together for them. I think you can tell they really miss Tyus Jones, backup point guard. Typically plays anywhere between 20 to 25 minutes a game. You can kind of tell that the second unit really hasn't really given them a lot of lift. And then I say these things, and the second unit scored, you know, Grayson Allen went off for 17 points yesterday, and Brandon Clark was terrific. But, you know, it's they're right there, you know, like in this heat of the battle situation and this play-in, you know, differential. Like, if they don't have a 4-game lead by the end of these 8 games, they're going to be in the play-in, and that's tough. And but to talk about his Monday night game, you know, Ja, the New Orleans Pelicans did a, you know, really good job defensively on him, I thought. They kept going underneath screens, daring him to shoot the three, taking away a lot of his driving lanes, making sure he wasn't getting in the pocket. And, you know, Jaws, the threes were open. He didn't take a single contested three the whole night. And if he'd made them pay, it would have been beautiful, but he didn't. Yeah. 1 for 10 from three. 5 for 21 from the field. So, no turnovers, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, you know, 11 points.
A decent game, not a great game.
Not a great game from a shooting perspective. Terrific that he didn't have turnovers. Didn't hurt him in that regard at all.
When compared to Zion, it's... pales in comparison.
Oh, apparently. The conversation.
So he's the rookie of the year now.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Based on the one game.
Just one game, right. I don't understand that conversation at all. Like Zion was good last night. I'm not going to deny that. I mean, he had 20, 25 minutes. He came in and closed for them. He had 23 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, you know, 9 for 21 shooting. I mean, he made 4 more baskets. Ninja, that's about it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I know they won. New Orleans won both games in the regular season. They just won this game. Keeps them firmly in the conversation of trying to make that play-in game for the 8 seed. But I just, there just isn't a debate with me. Like, I'm just so tired of even seeing the debate between Zion and Ja. Like, Ja's played 60 games. Zion's played 26. It just isn't an argument. The only reason that Memphis is in the bubble right now is because Ja Morant is their point guard. Like, this is a team that was not expected to win 30 games this year. They were expected to win, like, 15, 20. And they're in this firm conversation. They're still only 4 games back from 500. Mm-hmm. You know, this 0-3 start includes, by the way, an overtime loss to Portland, which was in the Western Conference Finals last year.
I did watch that game.
Yeah.
The game I've seen.
And then you lost to the San Antonio Spurs that just won't die. You lost to them by less than 10, and you've lost to New Orleans by less than 10. And it's the little things, you know. It's the little things that have cost this team, this Memphis Grizzlies team, over the last 3 games. You know, they get a good rest, and then they've got to play, you know, Oklahoma City. That's terrific on Friday. It just doesn't get easier. And you just thought, you know, they still have to play the Celtics. They still have to play the Bucks. Pretty sure they've got to play a game against the Lakers again, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I think that's right. It's just the Toronto Raptors, you know, who are terrific. So, I mean, it just, if you were going to get some space, now was going to be the time against Portland, San Antonio, and New Orleans that are all below you. in the standings. And so it's, I mean, it's tough, and I know that they're thinking about it, and I don't even have to bring it up anymore. It's, they know that they've really, you know, missed an opportunity over these last five or six days, and they've got some ground to make up. But the rest of the league has to do the same thing. Like, they still have a 2-game lead with 5 games to go. Like, New Orleans has to keep winning. Portland has to keep winning. And Portland lost to Boston this weekend, so that kind of kicked them out a little bit. You know, everybody else below them also has to face the same type of rigorous schedule, and they've got to come away with these wins too. So, I mean, the pressure isn't just on Memphis, but if you want to take care of your own business, it would have behooved you to have won one of those 3 games, if not 2, or perhaps even gone 3-0 to just squash all doubt. So, still interesting to watch, and certainly Ja has been terrific in that 3-game stretch as far as pushing out, you know, production. I mean, this is a guy that was averaging anywhere between 31 to 32 minutes a game during the regular season. With Tyus out, they've had to go to D'Anthony Melton, which is fine, but I mean, it's not Tyus Jones. Mm-hmm. Tyus Jones is naturally a point guard. D'Anthony's more of a slasher too, who can hit the three. So now all of a sudden, Ja's playing some more minutes right now. And I mean, I know that everybody keeps saying, well, he's had a break. Well, yeah, he's had a break, but he's also played 3 games in the last 5 days. Like, I'm not trying to make too many excuses. I mean, Ja's Ja. I mean, he's going to play his game, but I mean, naturally, his 3-ball has not fallen in the bubble. That's for sure. He's 1-for-10 in this last game. It was less than 30% the game before, and less than 30% in the first game back. So,
that's rhythm. Yeah, it usually comes with playing consistently, and haven't done that.
Yeah, nobody has.
Has to get more games.
Yeah,
More games. It's like a batter hitting. Got to get more games to get comfortable at the plate.
Speaking of that, I'm glad you actually brought up baseball. We did not get a chance to talk baseball last week. We got so wrapped up in all these different things and what the OVC was going to do. And how are the Cardinals doing right now, Neil?
Hey, they're on a roll. They haven't lost since last week. They went to Milwaukee, didn't lose there. They're going to be in Detroit for 4 nights. They're going to come away without a loss there. And they'll be back in action against the Cubs on Friday. So, really, a 7-game stretch without a loss. Who wouldn't? Well, the Yankees are doing that. They won 7 straight.
It's true.
Cardinals haven't won 7 straight, but they're going to go 7 straight without a loss because they have a COVID outbreak. Rumors are, and it hasn't been substantiated, it was even addressed by John Mozeliak that he hasn't substantiated it, that some guys went to a casino, and God, I hope that isn't it, but generally you just don't just lay around the room and get it, I guess, unless it's in the heating and air system, and they're actually doing studies.
Right.
Maybe that happened. But if that didn't happen, they probably got it somewhere. So I don't know what it is, but the Cardinals won't play for sure in Detroit. Fingers crossed they might play Friday night against the Cubs. We'll see. They're on Sunday Night Baseball if they manage to get played and start Friday night, Saturday, Sunday.
Neil, I was going to interrupt you, but I really liked the way the story was going. The way that you were spinning your tail.
Sounded good.
That's fake news.
That's the liar's figure and figures lie.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
That's how.
See, that was all true, yet it really wasn't honest.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't honest.
And it wasn't honest. Right.
But it was true.
That was a very, very articulate fake news.
Yes.
Spiel. The way you were just like, well, we're not on a losing streak. We're not. We're not, you know, we're playing decent.
Seven games without a loss.
You didn't omit the truth. You just didn't tell the truth.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened there. So it gives you an idea of how things can get done in the world of baseball. But hopefully they'll get back. I'm glad to have baseball back. I still watch. I watched parts of 2 games last night. Watch Phillies Yankees. Watch the Braves. Bad news, they got one of their starters hurt out for the year.
Yeah,
so that's
all that.
That's rough. But those things happen in baseball. I am glad to have it back. The fact that you just have the Marlins and the Cardinals that have had the issues and really not anyone else, I now at least have hope maybe they can finish this thing out somehow.
Yeah, so, you know, look, I mean, I will be completely honest. I'm just like everybody else right now. I'm, you know, mentally I'm jaded. I'm faded. There's a rap song somewhere in those lyrics, I guess. But, you know, I'm just as frustrated as anybody else with how 2020 has gone. So
yes.
So it is very easy for me to just get on social media, be a slapdick about it. You know, pardon my language there, but it's totally true. And just be like, well, that's it, boys. Call the season. you know, because the Marlins decided to just be idiots. Okay. And you know, and I did. I said it the day that they came out.
But it's only 28 teams are doing okay, right?
Right. But it was just very easy for me to just be like, you've got to be kidding me. Like this, like yeah. The Marlins, really? And then it was the Cardinals, and I was like, whatever, just call the season. I'm done with it. I'm so tired of this crap. But on a complete flip side, you have teams doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And because of that, there shouldn't be a penalty. Like, I'm going to recollect my thoughts, get back into the positive me, reverse my chi. I don't want to see the Major League Baseball season canceled. I don't want to see the NFL limited. I don't want to see the OVC limited or the SEC or the ACC. I definitely want sports in the fall and in the spring and so on and so forth. It's just we have to navigate different parameters now. And if we don't navigate those parameters and all make the sacrifice, we're not going to get to play. That's my argument. I'm not trying to make it this, you know, fascist, non-fascist, you know, liberal conservative argument. It's if we don't behave in these specific parameters in these bubbles, basketball is going to have a hard time playing. Baseball is going to have a problem playing. Rutgers, I've already brought them up, but like Rutgers is in trouble right now for COVID from a football perspective. Did they do something bad? We don't know yet. That's all still very new information, but their team is dealing with, you know, a major COVID outbreak at the collegiate football level. So it's like, well, what are the things that we know that we can do to control the situation? Wash your hands, wear a mask, distance ourselves. I mean, we don't know anything more. We're still learning about the virus 6 months later. But my argument to everyone else is, you know, if you're going to ruin it for everybody else, like, you should be penalized. And I saw a couple of takes yesterday that I thought, you know, kind of makes sense. Like, if the Marlins were negligent, I don't know, maybe your take on this, Neil. I mean, you're in a business. If I go to, like, for instance, if I go to work and I have, like, let's just say the flu. Let's just, I don't even want to make it, like, COVID. But, like, if I have the flu and I you know, we work in assembly line. Let's just say I work in an assembly line. And I, like, hang out with two or three other people and don't tell them that I'm sick. And then they get sick. You cost the business money. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's a fine line here between human beings and sickness and what their jobs are supposed to be. But I guess from a Major League Baseball perspective, let's just like hyper like focus it there. If you agree to a 60-game season and you want to see it through, it seems like logically to me, like, I don't want to go like hang out at like a titty bar or.
But do we know either of these did? Marlins?
We don't specifically know where the Marlins or the Cardinals went. We just know that the Marlins broke protocol, and we know that the Cardinals broke protocol. I don't think there's just live cam footage of dash mm-hmm. footage of just, all right, we're going to go to a strip club. All right, we're going to go to a casino and just play the slots that haven't been wiped down. Or we're going to go smoke cigars all night and go drink booze at a friend's house, and there's like 20 of us gathered. I don't think we have specific locations where these guys have been, but it's clear that whatever happened, it's widespread and rampant. That's the problem. It's not like it's been isolated with one or two guys that were like, oh, I messed up. I can't believe this happened. You know, like a Freddie Freeman. You know, like Freddie Freeman specifically distanced himself, had been doing personal workouts at home. They like went, if I'm not mistaken, they went to like Colorado to like a retreat, and he still got it and got deathly sick. Now, luckily, he's back healthy playing mm-hmm. for the Braves, one of the few guys still standing for them right now. But, like, it seems that with a major outbreak with St. Louis and the Marlins, it's not isolated cases. They either something happened in their situations where they got contaminated, or they did something and brought it in.
I bet they know.
Oh, I bet they know, too.
They know. It may not come out, but they know.
Yeah. And so, was somebody stupid? I mean, I can't make that assessment just yet, but what we were getting at with this entire argument or in discussion is that, you know, I want baseball to play. I don't want the Cardinals and the Marlins to ruin it for the rest of the league that seems to be doing things, at least currently.
Right.
Knock on wood. That was knocking on wood there. Knock on wood, doing things the right way so that they can maintain these seasons. But here's the deal, Neil. The Cardinals already have to make up 11% of their season. They've missed 7 games. And it's not like 7 games in 162 where you're just like, well, we'll toss those at the back end.
Yeah.
Because of the tight window of games that have to happen between now and whatever fall classic we have, holy crap, Neil. Yeah, like you've got 10% of your games that you're going to have to stack on the back end. I mean, you're talking doubleheader, doubleheader, doubleheader.
Well, it's like having 16 rained out in
yes,
a regular season.
It's exact mathematically, yeah. You've got 16 games being rained
out.
And
that doesn't happen. You
no.
Might have 5-6, that's usually about it. But 16, wow.
Yeah, as far as value is concerned.
And a tiny window to do it.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden you're squeezing in 14 innings, you know, pending any sort of extra innings. I mean, you're pending 14 innings a day, probably 5 to 6 days in a row with like a
only
one-day break.
Split squad games, send a team to Detroit and then play. That's the only way I know to do it. That's
actually really smart.
There you go.
Could you imagine? But here's the deal, though, Neil. That's almost like a varsity and a JV.
It kind of is.
But that's how you brought it on yourself. I don't mean like
you did,
and I don't mean that like that sounds like I don't want anybody to bring this on themselves at all. But if you're not going to adhere to the certain parameters, I mean, look, let's take a look at what the TBT did, the basketball tournament, and the NBA have done. Were those truly enjoyable situations? Like, are those guys like having a blast in the bubble? No. Are they professionals who, on their contract negotiations, made a decision, we want to finish out the season, so these are the sacrifices we're going to make? Yes. Major League Baseball's biggest problem, and you and I talked a lot about this over the summer, is that they waited too long to make a decision, and they made the window inescapable. You know, and that's why there's even discussion of canceling a season to begin with. Like, you would think, oh, no, we're going to play 60 games. No problem. But they made it almost non-negotiable. There's not a lot of wiggle room here with Major League Baseball. If you have a flub or an outbreak or anything like that, there's not a lot of bounce back before you get to October.
There was, but they kind of beat that away.
Indeed.
Did want to wish a happy birthday to Dave Winder. 65 or 56, which is it?
I think it's 65.
65.
That's the number of RBI he had.
Well,
against...
if so, he looks good for 65.
Yeah, 65. Number.
If he's 56, he looks every bit of that.
Yeah.
But he's the Murray Pickleball champion. Right? Isn't that right? He's
yes. With
the champion.
Yeah, the champion with Mike D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, that guy. So they won the Murray
Pickleball Championship.
I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Mike D'Ambrosio.
Yeah.
Mike.
So congratulations to them on doing that, and happy birthday to Dave. I just wanted to squeeze that in there. Continue.
I liked it.
We're at 44 minutes, by the way.
Oh.
Just wanted to
let you don't want to go another 44 minutes, Neil?
I'll let you do whatever you want to do. Remember, it's your show now.
Well, it's our show.
I'm just hanging out.
It's co-ownership. It's co-ownership.
No, it's not.
No, we'll leave it at that, Neil. Appreciate you being on the show with me.
You had some golf you want to talk about, though, right?
I did. Well,
high school golf?
Yeah, very briefly. I want to give a shout-out here to Jay Nemo. Jay Route 66 Nemo, by the way, because he's fired back-to-back 66.
Wow.
Yeah. He opened up the high school season at the Murray Country Club at the Murray Invitational inaugural tournament, by the way. Very, very well done. Very well run. It was good to see them. The boys regional championship this year is at Murray Country Club, so it seemed rather fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall County and St. Mary kind of look to be in that hunt, you know, this year as being the top two teams. And Jay Nemo, the defending state champion, is on fire.
Yeah.
He fired a 66 last Friday. Then yesterday in Bowling Green, fired another 66, and Marshall has won back-to-back tournaments.
That's impressive.
6 under.
Do you get a ring for that?
No. I mean, you do for a first region title.
Because I got one.
Yeah, I know you did.
I got one yesterday.
I know. I like you tapping on your mic with
it. There you go.
You want to talk about the ring?
No, it's really gorgeous for whatever reason, and I really appreciate it, but they give rings to the broadcasters. These are the same rings the players get. Mine has 3P. It has Bradley on the side of it.
Does it have your stats inside?
2020 OVC champions. The 3-peat, 18, 19, and 20 regular season championships, the record, 15-0 at the bank, and it has stuff inside that, come on, man, I'm old, I can't read this. I think it might say...
How many hours were you
hard there? Hard work, toughness, and joy. How many what now?
How many hours? How many hours did you broadcast? That would be a perfect thing to inscribe on the inside of that.
But I get it for doing nothing. Sit and talk, and I do absolutely nothing, and they give me a ring for it. But it is gorgeous. And the players got theirs, and then I got mine. But I appreciate the team and the staff for doing that.
No, absolutely. That would be a terrific stat to inscribe inside of yours and Kenny's, though. Like, jeez. You know, if you're looking for stats and what you did for that year, you know, if Matt McMahon or anybody in his staff is listening, that's an idea moving forward. You should inscribe the number of hours or number of episodes of the season and pre-game and all that sort of stuff that you guys have put together over the last few years, and with each season it would be. You can tell that we're
having some technical issues. There we go. For some reason it just kind of petered out on us.
Oh no, I like
but
it.
But we're
though.
Back now.
Hey, listen, we're a low budget podcast, right. So I mean the element of technical surprise is upon us at any moment. Yeah. So. Did the hamster stop running?
I don't know what happened. There was a little bit of buzz, and I tried to move the board around, and not only did it stop buzzing, it created nothing.
Okay, well, don't get electrocuted.
It's about 30 seconds. So I'll have to go and do a little slide edit on that.
All right. Well, Neil, what a fun episode.
It was. It was a blast.
We'll talk soon.
All right. Are you doing one a week now? Is that what you're doing?
It's going to be one a week with you, and then I'm going to start involving the region soon as I can get a good rhythm. I
want to say hi to the dishwasher vacationing. I heard her vacation blows, though.
Yeah, her vacation blows because Hurricane Isaias came through. Legitimately blew.
She's in North Carolina?
She is. She's in North Carolina. She's doing well right now.
Well, good.
She just texted me. I'm going to call her here in a moment.
Yeah, maybe I'll check on her. That might be cool while you're basking here in your leisure.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ed. See you.